Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Can the Killer Bees regain their former glory, as Dr. Dre asks on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, every Friday at 2. We play Who Said It, where Brandon reads off five quotes from ESPN 97.5, 92.5 personalities, and we have to guess who said it. Who said the quote? Last week, Killer Bees lost. Killer Bees lost to a caller.
First time.
So Austin's going to go toe-to-toe with the Killer Bees today. And Austin, are you ready for this? Killer Bees are out for blood. We're out for revenge.
I'm going to try my best, guys.
This is going to be a blowout.
You're
I'm
the anti-Cody. Talk some mess. Bring it.
Yeah, we're going to give it the old college try.
Yeah, I'll do what I can.
Sounds like a 12-year-old playing Little League baseball.
Ooh.
All right, Austin. We are
we are
good hosts. So we allow our guest, in this case you, Austin, to go first with all of the quotes. We allow you to have the precedence. So Brendan's going to get it started. Austin, you'll be guessing first in each of these five quotes. Brendan, if you will.
Number one, I just don't think it's worth it to get monkey herpes for a few coins. Again, I just don't think it's worth it to get monkey herpes for a few coins.
I love how Brendan thought he had to read it twice.
I was going to ask, Brendan, can you just repeat the last word or two in that sentence, just the last two words?
Few coins.
Okay. I don't know why, but I'm thinking false.
All right, Austin's going with Paul.
I'm thinking Paulie.
I wonder if this has something to do with Vegas, since they're going to Vegas and they're going to have coins there.
I didn't see it like that.
Okay.
But I misled you last week, so I'm going to tread a little lighter than I normally do.
Monkeypox, only certain people are going to say monkeypox, right?
Or talk about it.
So
monkey
I think that
herpes.
Monkey herpes, monkeypox. I mean, two peas in a pod. I don't think that really changes my thought process there. Somebody talking about monkeypox. Pox versus monkey herpes, I think, are going to be in that same category.
Just want to make sure you got what I was saying.
What are you thinking here?
I'm thinking either the bench or the wheelhouse.
Okay. Who are you thinking on the bench?
Granada.
Oh, really? Man, I was going to say Lance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't care. I'm not very confident. I'm not going to stand on the table for this.
I could just see Granado kind of.
Let's see if you're hot. This is a heat check.
I'm not hot. I was cold as ice last week, and I admit it.
That's why I said it's a heat check. We're checking your temperature.
Right, well, why
today.
Go my way then? If you got a gut feeling,
I don't.
On this.
I'm telling you, I don't. I don't feel as confident as Dusty on this one. I don't feel like playing Mauricio Dubon in center field today. Mm. All right, let's go with Granado. Let's go with Granado. Let's see who's hot. Granado. Brendan with
I
the
just
suspense.
Don't think it's worth it to get monkey herpes.
Nope. There you go.
For a few coins.
We're with the heat check, Austin. You're down 1-0. Still plenty of time. We were up 1-0 last week, Austin. Then
That's
we got skunked the rest of the way.
That's true.
So the Killer Bees will not get complacent. I hope you will not either, Austin. Let's go with quote number two, Brendan.
This is the part of the show where I'm going to give myself a self high five and a pat on the back.
Ooh. I don't think the bench would say that. I think it's got to either be Vanessa and Pauly, or it's got to be the wheelhouse. Obviously, it's only other choices. I don't know. The way that's said, I think Jake Asman.
Okay.
Maybe that's something you would say, because I know sometimes his co-hosts don't necessarily agree with him on everything.
Final answer?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm really tough.
All right, Austin's going with
I'm gonna go with Jake.
You want to hear my thinking here?
He's going with Jeremy. Fair take, Jake. Yeah, sure.
I got two philosophies. Austin, listen and learn. I think the first one is, who's the only guy that goes solo in the lineup?
PC.
Okay, so there's the give myself a high five.
Yeah.
There's that philosophy. Or there's the Vanessa aspect of, because she never, I don't think she's ever very, you know, boisterously self-serving and giving herself credit like a lot of the guys on this station are. Mm-hmm. To where that was just my, I'm just giving you my line of thinking would be one of two. I would say either Vanessa or PC.
Can a 2-hour show be long enough for yourself to give a self high five?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look, when you take credit for every quote that you've ever thrown out there on the air or on Twitter, and you want people to give you the same kind of love, I think you gotta kind of blow your own horn sometimes.
All right, well, you're heat check again. We went with the hot hand last time.
If I give you the options, before we give our final answer, if I give you the option of either Vanessa or PC, which way would you go?
I couldn't give you a good answer.
Well, that you did that for the first question, too.
And we got it right. And we got it right. This is game theory. You're playing checkers. I'm playing chess. Answer the question, Blankers. What do you think?
All right. I'm going to say... Can I have it one more time, Brendan, please?
Austin's about to put us on the clock.
No, it's fine.
This is the part of the show where I'm going to give myself a self high five and a pat on the back.
I think I'm going to go with the logic of you give yourself a self high five because you're doing the show by yourself. I'll say Patrick Creighton.
All right, PC.
Now, this is the part of the show where I'm going to give myself a self high five and a little self pats on the back here.
See, I'm doing what Dusty should do. I should allow the smart people in the room to make the decisions and take the back seat and do nothing else.
I'm Joel Espada.
Yeah. This is Joel Espada.
I'm Joel Espada.
We put you guys in the same seat. Yeah. Otherwise, this game's not compelling.
All right, 2-0. We're up on Austin. Austin, you got to sweep us the rest of the way, but still you have the advantage to go first. And you're competing against the rest of the cards. Right, here's quote number 3.
That was definitely a good thought with PC. I never would have thought PC.
Number 3. I got to find a way to stop going on dates that venture towards $150. I gotta find a way to stop going on dates that venture towards $150.
Austin, I'm gonna help you out here. Don't say anyone on the bench.
Well, we don't know about that.
No, it's I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna kick myself in the butt if I'm wrong. Pretty sure it's Paul.
Okay, I could see Paul.
Gotta be Paul. He's been talking a lot about dates this week.
Good for him. Wonder if he'll keep the dating apps open as he's in Vegas. Not Vanessa. Vanessa's not paying for her dates.
True.
Cody cooks dinner for lovely lady.
He hangs out with his mom a lot, too.
Yeah. And remember that one time he brought groceries up here? He was going to go cook at his girlfriend's house?
BK's super cheap.
Jake, I'm not sure, dates. I think he's more on YouTube than dating. It's either BK or Paul. But BK, you're right. He likes
He just brings the black bush or the red
bush. But we can't go Paul.
No, you can't because he took him. Because that would have been... Now, wait a minute.
I think BK is the only other answer.
Can I just look at this from one different philosophy and run this by you real quick, okay? Because I'm going to let you call this. Okay, here's my other way of thinking. She's not paying for it, but she's going on the date.
I don't think she feels bad, though.
Because I think that you would feel bad if you're not interested in a dude.
No way she feels bad.
And you got to sit through a $150 meal as opposed to, you don't think that's possible.
I don't think she feels bad at all. No. No chance. No chance. Whenever you were dating, did you ever go on a date and the woman's like, oh, I feel bad that you're paying for this?
No.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, fine, then it's out. All right, so which way are we going?
I think that the only other suitable answer is BK.
Okay. All right, then I don't feel strongly about it, but I'll go BK.
I think it's Paul, but let's go.
I agree.
I think BK is the second most likely.
I got to find a way to stop going on dates that, like,
well done,
Austin. Venture towards $150.
Yeah, he should stop doing that. Good job, Austin. You're on the board. You're still down, but you're in the...
You got yourself back
in the game. You got yourself back in the game.
That was a softball pitch.
We had to keep you in the game.
It was a softball
pitch. I appreciate it.
All right, quote number 4, Brendan.
All right, number 4. I think you're a fraud, and you should have to renounce your citizenship of Texas.
Hey, can I have you repeat that again one more time? It's breaking in and out there.
I think you're a fraud, and you should have to renounce your citizenship of Texas.
Ooh. My thought process is wheelhouse somewhere. I don't know why. I also get Paul as well, but I don't know why. I don't want to guess Paul too much. I think BK, because born and bred in Texas and everything, but maybe Cody.
All right, you just named everybody.
So which way are you going?
Ah, shoot.
Hey, don't forget that solo guy. Don't forget that solo guy late at night.
All right, he went BK. I think his logic's good here. Like, I feel like to say that you almost have to be a Texan, although I could see Paul saying that, but I don't think it's a transplant.
I think it's Cody.
I don't think it's a transplant. I could see, like, Granada wasn't born here, but he's been here long enough to where, you know, he got here as fast as he could.
Right.
Lance been here. Lance born here?
Long time. Well, you know, but his dad was coaching here.
Yeah, but he lived in New Orleans for a little while, didn't he?
He went there to school there. He went to school.
Oh, okay, okay. I could see anybody saying it. You feeling like it's a Cody thing?
Well, I was kind of along his way of thinking, and I could. Pat's a transplant.
Yeah, so Vanessa's
to
a
your
transplant.
Philosophy, I take. Yeah, so I think because I think he was on the right path with the wheelhouse.
Yeah,
I could.
It's not Jake.
No, I think it's Cody.
And Jake's always got the Empire State of Mind.
That's right.
Cody, I like Cody.
Okay,
I like Cody. Let's go, Cody, on this one.
I think you're a fraud.
Oh wow!
Like I think you should have to renounce your citizenship of Texas.
Random foot and mouth there, huh? Definitely not Jake.
I feel like it's a minus one.
It should be.
Easy
it really should be. But it's not going to be. All right, 2-1. It's all on the line this one, Austin. Austin, you control your own destiny. You can tie the Killer Bees.
We can't lose.
That's a formidable result. Tying the Killer Bees is very well done. We don't lose. We don't lose often. So, Austin, here is quote number
five. You got a shot, Austin. Make your weekend.
Number four.
No, it's five.
I'm sorry.
Brendan.
Yeah. Brendan, easy now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I might have read them backwards. I read 5 at 4. Number 5. I never want to get married to a woman who puts Drano in my lemonade.
Austin, I'd say Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Keep your knowledge to yourself over there, Blankers.
I never want to get married to a woman who puts Drano in my lemonade.
That's a Pauly thing. I'm just going to go with Paul. I think that's a Pauly thing.
Okay.
I
mean, is that what you were thinking?
That's my opinion.
Okay, good guess, Austin. It's not a bad one.
It's a pretty severe statement. I would think BK would make in a heartbeat.
I think it's safe to say that Paul wants to get married to a woman. I think it's safe to say that BK wants to get married to a woman.
Yes.
You gave away, you know, the Vanessa nugget. That's probably not Vanessa.
Yep. Trying to help you out, Austin.
See, this to me sounds like maybe a news of the weird.
Oh. Where a wrinkle.
Yeah, where maybe it's the bench talking about the news of the weird, and there's some Florida woman putting Drano in some dude's drink.
Kind of like it, and I kind of like the fact that you know that all weird things happen with Florida people.
Instead of some orange zest in your old-fashioned, long signs of Gentle Ben, you're just putting some orange Drano there to try to cover up for the zest. What other state would that happen
Although neither one of the guys is going to marry someone because they're both married.
Right, but that's why it's not necessarily...
You're just talking about the story.
Yeah, it's like an engaged couple. You know, they're news of the weird. This happened in Florida. Some Florida woman who's a terrible human being put orange Drano in an old-fashioned.
I gave you my input. I thought it was BK, but I'm going to leave it to you.
See, I just don't know which way to go there. You've been hot. Let's go with the hot hand. You've been hot this one. I feel like I don't need to interject. You've been doing a good job. Let's go with BK.
I never want to get married to a woman.
Guys, you had it.
It's all right. We won. It's all right. We won. Yeah, that had to be a news of the week.
Well, that's a great call on your part.
Austin, formidable foe. You did a really good job,
Austin.
You got one right. You know, that's better than being shut out.
You
that's
definitely
than
being could shut be out. Cody.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy your weekend. Thanks for playing, Austin. Thanks for listening as well.
Appreciate it, guys.
You got it. Austin, another loser at the hands of the Killer Bees.
Wait till he hangs up, and then you drill him.
Was that soft of me? Was that a little soft?
Yeah, you waited till he was walking back to the dugout, and then you hit him between the numbers.
I feel a little soft this week, I'm not going to lie. You know who's not soft?
Me.
Justin Verlander.
Oh.
I don't know. That's debatable.
I just led you down the path to victory again.
You did. You did a really good job.
Carried your ass, is what I did.
After you choked off the reason
since
we lost.
Since you positioned it the way you did
week.
To motivate me, yeah, I carried.
See, that's what good managers do. They bring the most out of their teammates. Anyways, Justin Verlander. Verlander wants to pitch to 45. Would you just give a 6-year deal right now? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. 5th year anniversary right now. You can get all kinds of deals. There's balloons and all kinds of celebration in the lobby. I was there this morning. But look, Doc O's been keeping in business and doing good things for people, so much so that he's celebrating a 5-year anniversary. And you could be the next in line to reap the benefits from Apollo Men's Health. And there's a variety of different ways they can help you. Yes, they do hormone therapy for both men and women, and there were men and women in the lobby this morning. But it doesn't have to be about that. If you just want to see the different ways you might be able to find more energy in your life, you want to start with a B12 shot, they have a variety of different B12 shots that might be able to get you on the right path. You're more interested in getting in a workout program. We'll start with a full body composition analysis and then chart your results by doing one every so often and seeing your gains when it comes to weight loss, muscle mass, and all the really key numbers. You want to recover quicker because you're sore? Well, there's HGH peptide therapy. Need stuff for your smoothies or maybe some fat burners? They got those things too. Two locations to better serve you, but start the process by going to apollomh.com and check out all the different services they offer and see how they can help you. Set up an appointment while you're at it. When you do that, you'll find out most major insurance is accepted and there's discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, get that B12 shot or that full body comp on your first official visit. Let the process go from there. Your health is your wealth. You have to invest in yourself just like you would in the stock market. So therefore, make the appointment, show up, be honest with the questions they're going to answer, they're going to ask you, and you're going to find out they're going to get you answers. They're going to put you on a plan that works. They're going to find the solution to what you're after. Check them out today. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Turn down for what? Turn down for what?
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We have a Friday news dump. We'll get to the Justin Verlander thing maybe at some point today. This might take us to the rest of the show. The Houston Astros have announced that Michael Brantley has had surgery on his right shoulder and is done for the rest of the year. No Michael Brantley. Not an option to get him back. The Astros, with a blow here, there was some thought that they weren't going to get Brantley back. Now it is official. Michael Brantley done for 2022.
They should trade for an outfielder.
I was going to say, you know what? At least they've been putting a guy out in left field, trying him out to see if he can play it. That's an experienced major league hitter that could do some of the things Brantley does at the plate, too, and be a guy that could... Okay. This is what I was setting you up for. This is what we've been talking about more than any other show. Like, it's the same reason why I have the philosophy I had with McCullers, and I'm still waiting for that, is the fact that I am not going to be overly a positive guy waiting for someone that could possibly fall out of the realm of possibilities. I was worried about this with Brantley all along. You even touched on it when we went from, what Click said about at some point we expect him back, to the second opinion, and you said the curse of the second opinion means you didn't really like what you heard in the first one. Yeah, this is not good news if you're an Astro, but you have the backups there that could do this if you would just play them where they should be playing.
What's the thought that comes to your mind? Michael Brantley, done for the year. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
I think he's also played his last game as an Astro.
Yeah, free agent at the end of the year. I don't think he almost was played his last game as an Astro the last time he was a free agent. And was it 2019 when George Springer left to go to Toronto? Mm-hmm. And the reports were that Uncle Mike was following Georgie to head north of the border to Canada to play for the Blue Jays. And then Click at the last hour kept him in Houston. Fair to say that the Astros probably wouldn't sign Michael Brantley, who's coming off a torn labrum surgery, I believe it was. His advanced age, late 30s, it might ruin it. I mean, Michael Brantley might be done, period. Like, it might be Michael Brantley's, he's never going to play baseball again. I've been looking at this Brantley situation, and it's reminded me a lot of the Jeff Bagwell situation, where it's like, okay, you got a shoulder that has been bothering you. The other day, Click said that Brantley went for the second opinion. Click also said it's up to Michael Brantley. Whenever he said that, to me it sounded like there was something in the shoulder that needed to be surgically replaced or repaired, and that Brantley was trying his very best to play through it and just couldn't do it. So electing to have the surgery, it ends Michael Brantley's 2022. I think it's safe to say it ends his tenure as a Houston Astro, and I think there's a coin flip chance that it ends his career. I think there's a coin flip chance that Michael Brantley's never going to play baseball again. It was a labral repair on his right shoulder, too, so torn labrum. For Michael Brantley, that's tough. That's a year injury too. So like that, he's not going to be back until August at the very earliest of 2023, and that's probably very lofty expectation. So as far as Michael Brantley, sad news. You're not going to get one of the most professional hitters in baseball back. That's devastating to an offense that went out and traded for some more offense at the deadline, because it's one. I wouldn't call it a flaw, but it's the weakness between the pitching, the defense, the offense. The offense is the three of that triad. I think you can tip your cap to what was a very good career for Michael Brantley. He helped you out a lot, won a World Series for you as well in 2017, was very critical in that team, very a big piece in that. He's been a huge part of your success. So I think you look at Michael Brantley as, I think he's going to be a folklore for the Houston Astros. Very good career, very good tenure with the Astros.
I don't think he's done. I think that, but I think you're right. I think that look, as much as we saw a lot of teams that were kind of apprehensive but checked out Justin Verlander once he had Tommy John, I think coming off a surgery like this at Michael Brantley's age, I think there's a desire for him to still play, but I think that no team is going to sign him right off the jump for next season. I think at a certain point, if he proves he's back and he can swing a bat again, you know, he might be a guy just like a trade deadline move or something like that that someone could pick up a year from now, maybe even the Astros. Maybe he stays in Houston and he's rehabbing in Houston and doing all these things, and at a certain point the Astros are in need of a bat, and instead of, you know, giving up more prospects they can't afford to give up, maybe they just keep Uncle Mike on, you know, nearby. But yeah, it's too bad because we know how good this team could be, and Brantley was definitely someone that was in the mix to be a big part of that. So now you got to replace him. And now maybe, just maybe, as much as he doesn't want to do it, maybe there's a conversation between Click and Dusty that says, look, if you're Click, you come down to his office and say, I know I've been letting you do whatever you want to do with the lineups, but this is what part of the reason why we got Mancini. Yep. You got to start playing him in left field.
I misspoke. Brantley was not on the World Series team. He signed after the 18 season. So he was on the team that went to the World Series in 1921, but was not a World Series champion.
Big part of the last couple of years.
Big part of the folklore of the Astros in this golden era, but not on the 2017 championship team. So mistake on my part. What it means for the Astros going forward. Look, I'm not naive to believe, though, that Dusty Baker didn't realize that Michael Brantley being done for the year was an option. They probably have known this for the last few days. He wasn't in the dugout earlier this week. So the possibility of Michael Brantley not being back was probably a coin flip chance, maybe as recently as like a week and a half ago. They've probably known this for the last few days, that Michael Brantley's not going to be part of the team in 2022. So like, I don't really see this news, the fact that it's now public versus being private, really, you know, snapping a change in Dusty Baker's mindset. I hope I'm wrong.
Well, like I said, the only thing that I think could really kind of expedite the process and get it moving is if Click actually has a conversation with Dusty and says, look, I've been pretty hands-off. I've been trying to do this or that. But, you know, this is something we got to talk about now. As much as, you know what you want and don't feel like Mancini's an outfielder, this is something we got to at least try. This is going back to what I said about before you actually have to put out a lineup in the playoffs when it means something, just put him out there and see if he can play it. Start having guys hit balls off the wall and have him take practice every single night in left field. Put him out there, it doesn't have to be every night. You can mm-hmm. rotate him on the positions, but get him enough experience in the outfield, in left field, so that if that's the way you want to go and you lead more offense than defense, and not either guy was going to give you stellar defense. Brantley knew how to play the left field wall in Minute Maid, mm-hmm. but that was repetition. Get the reps to Mancini.
713-780-ESPN. We have seen Mancini working in left field as recently as earlier this week in the Rangers series. So I think it is coming. They're just not comfortable doing it yet. And I don't know if they look at him as an everyday outfielder either. I would use him out there as an everyday outfielder. It doesn't seem like the Astros are committed to that. 713-780-ESPN. You hear this news, what immediately comes to mind? 713-780-3776. Look, everybody thought that Brantley being out for the year was certainly plausible, certainly possible. If you got him back, it was going to be a bonus. Now, look, Click has probably known this for a while. We even kicked around the idea. Like, James Click, probably a month ago, was scoffing at the notion that Michael Brantley was going to be done for the year, that this was a season ender. They thought they were going to get him back at some point. We thought that there was a possibility he was playing poker ahead of the trade deadline, that he was saying that right. publicly so other teams didn't have him over a barrel, that they were desperate to get a left fielder. They went out and got a guy who has played left field, not this year, but has played left field. He's played outfield in Trey Mancini. And look, I think that you and I are kind of, on the same page here, simpatico. You got to see what you got. You got to put him out there in left field. If he falls on his face as a defensive outfielder, then you have your answer. But you got to start experimenting with it. You got to start using him out there and see if he can be your left fielder. Look, it probably means more Yordan in left field too, because Trey Mancini can be your DH.
Yeah, no doubt. It's that. It's... do you feel confident? It's one thing to say, I feel confident, and a lot of times it was because you thought it was going to be short-term, that you felt confident putting Aledmys Diaz in left field. Do you feel confident that Aledmys Diaz can be a left fielder in the playoffs?
He's better than Mancini.
Defensively?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then there's another option for you. Then he's going to see more time, too. But I think that that's a detriment to Dusty putting Trey Mancini out there, because he's like, what do I got to worry about? I already got Aledmys Diaz. He can play left field. He's been playing out there.
Yeah. You nailed it.
That's scary, man.
713-780-ESPN. Michael Brantley has had shoulder surgery to replace a labrum. He is out for the 2022 season. More than likely closes his chapter in Houston and might even close the chapter on what has been a very good career. Your immediate thought, Michael Brantley, done for the season. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Michael Brantley is done for the year. Shoulder surgery, his final year of his contract. I don't think James Click's going to be in the business of re-signing dudes that are in their late 30s coming off of labrum surgery. And the earliest he could potentially be back would be next August. So I think you can kiss the idea of Michael Brantley returning to the Astros goodbye. Chandler saying that Jim Crane has to pay him to re-sign. Michael Brantley's done. He's done for the year, and I think this ends his season. I think it ends his tenure with the Astros, and I think there's a decent chance it ends his career. I really do. Look at Bagwell late in his career in his 30s, what that shoulder surgery did to him.
I think the Astros are smart enough to know that that's a hell of an insurance policy to have hanging around, to where I'm sure that they're going to help him throughout the procedure. Their medical people are going to be involved in the whole process. And then they're not going to tell him not to get an offer. But I think that it's probably going to be discussed at some point. Hey, if you hang around and you keep rehabbing, and if no one picks you up right away, we want to see how the season plays out, but we would have an interest in at some point. Maybe it's even that you bring him on as a coach or a consultant or something, so that if you do need him, he's close to baseball, he still gets his cuts in the cage, and he's doing things to where he's ready for you if you need him. But I think he still wants to play a couple years. I think that we'll see how this all goes, but that would be the scenario that I would love to see painted out.
Yeah, maybe. But the storyline, of course, 2022, Michael Brantley is done. And having the conversation, what's the media thought? Michael Brantley out for the year. You immediately turn to left field. But look, the Astros have been playing for 6 weeks without Michael Brantley right in left field. So, and I don't think that this is news to the Astros. Michael Brantley had the surgery today. If he's having the surgery today, it probably was planned early in the week, and it was always a possibility. So all of a sudden that, you know, Dusty's going to change his plan in left field, that it's not going to happen. They've known about it for a couple days, and they knew that it was probably 50-50 shot if he was coming back at all, which might even be a reach. That might be even, like, you know, optimistic that he was 50-50 to return. So left field now becomes the issue that it has been. Left field, we've seen a lot. Like, Jordan Alvarez probably has the most starts in left field since the Brantley injury went down, but still really your primary DH. Aledmys Diaz has played a little bit in left field with his versatility. Not a great defender. Really not even a very good left fielder, but I think better than Trey Mancini. Chaz McCormick has played a little bit in left field, especially against lefties, and you want Trey Mancini to get every start in left field whenever it's not Jordan Alvarez. Jordan, Trey Mancini, left field DH, they both got to be in those two spots.
I don't know that I want him every single game there, because there's ways to use Mancini. I want him in the lineup as much as possible. I don't have to see him in left field every single night, but I want him on a pretty continuous basis until I know he can or he can't. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can be, you know, I don't think you can definitively say he is this or that in left field at Minute Maid Park until he plays left field at Minute Maid Park, and he does it more than once every fifth or sixth game. And if you get him the reps and he keeps practicing at it and you throw him out there multiple times, it's just like with McCullers on the mound or the different options that you have in center field and throwing Chaz in the mix as well, that you can start making definitive calls on each of these different guys as it relates to these different positions. Mancini's just too good of a stick. And with Brantley, a big stick that was a very key part in this success offensively over this extended period of time with the Astros, but even as it relates to this year, he was the first guy to get close to 300 again. He was the first guy of all the guys that were scuffling at the start of the year. You were the one guy you didn't worry about was Michael Brantley. Trey Mancini's not Michael Brantley at the plate, but Trey Mancini could be a good stick in this lineup, as he's already proven to you. So give him an opportunity to play left field to see if that's a guy that could possibly either take all the time or some of the time away from the loss of Michael Brantley.
Yeah, there's ways you could kind of configure it. Yuli, even if it means Yuli gets, like, he's going to play most days, but if he gets 2 days off, okay, those are the days Mancini plays first, then you right. get a Diaz or a Chaz McCormick in left field. One of the Twitchers saying bring up Corey Jolks. He's been pretty good down in Sugarland. I'm not sure he's really an upgrade over what you have currently in left field, and then who you sending down.
Plus, I mean, it's one thing to say, yeah, bring him up. You can bring up, see what he's got. He doesn't have any playoff experience. And you're going to put him by a team that expects to win the World Series and put him on the big stage and say, man, no problem, just go do it.
Yeah, I really don't see it as an option.
Happening
and
this
it
year.
Means that they would also have to send somebody down.
It's not happening
and
this year.
Don't think it's going to be Chaz. Don't think it's going to be Jake. And Dubon's out of options, so that means you would release Dubon. I don't really realize. I don't believe that Corey Jolks is a realistic option. So look, that's what you have in left field. 713-780-ESPN. How would you handle left field the rest of the way? One of the other topics of conversation with the fact that you're not getting Brantley back. You've kind of had a revolving door in the second spot. Recently, it's been mostly Yuli Gurriel. We've seen Jeremy Pena in that spot. We've seen Dusty use some other guys in those spots. We've seen Aledmys Diaz used in the two hole at times. Like, I know Yuli had three hits yesterday. He to me was kind of a temporary spot or temporary hitter in the two hole. See if you can get him like continue to use his hot streak in an optimal spot in the lineup. Yuli Gurriel is not my two-hole hitter the rest of the year. If I'm getting to the postseason, I don't want Yuli Gurriel in the two-hole. I like left field is obviously the topic of conversation with Brantley done the rest of the year, but how you have the lineup construction of who's batting second, I think that's just as important.
No doubt it is. And I think that, again, we went through an extended period of time where during a 162-game season, you're not really focused on the playoffs. You're not really trying to set a set lineup. And also, there wasn't anything pressing with the lineup as it relates to being in a race up for the division, a playoff spot, whatever. But now, as we're trying to solidify everything and anything that has it, as it relates to the playoffs, this is something else that you got to start nailing down. Mm-hmm. Yuli's not your regular two-hole guy. He had a nice little run there for a couple of games in a little period of time in the two-hole. But if you want your top five, and you've consistently gone to this, if Mancini is truly one of your top six best hitters, then Yuli's not. And Yuli's a guy that you slide down into 7, 8, 9. Maybe that gets him to kind of relax again, where he just worries about hitting and not the pressure that goes with, hey, with the guys around me and the expectations of the top half of a good lineup, I got to hit. And maybe it got to him. But when you start setting a more definitive lineup night in, night out, and not playing dusty ball, I think you got to start doing that too.
713-780-ESPN. I would just move everybody up a spot. I don't want Yuli Gurriel to be my two-hole hitter. I move everybody up a spot.
Jordan, your two?
Or? Jordan's my two. Okay. I move everybody up a spot. The danger there is Bregman's hitting so good in the cleanup spot, and we know that Dusty likes his players to have lineup and batting order preference. That's something that he believes in.
And Tuck's starting to come out of it, but you don't...
Dusty doesn't want to go lineup. He doesn't want to go lefty-lefty.
Right.
The lineup feng shui. Dusty loves that lineup feng shui.
And the other guy that you have been using in the two-hole is Pena, and Pena's not ready to go up to the two-hole the way he's not hitting.
He's under 300 on base. So is Yuli. You don't need under 300 on base guys hitting in the second spot. I move everybody up a spot. I go Altuve, Jordan, Bregman, Tucker. Mancini needs to play every day. He needs to be right there behind him. Aledmys Diaz needs to be right there behind him. And then Yuli Gurriel there. Flimsy saying, Tucker should be two-hole. I'm okay with that, too. Those, to me, need to be your top
if he was hitting
five
better,
hitters.
I'd be fine with that.
He's starting to heat up a little bit. Well, he's starting to hit the ball hard.
Pressing for a lot of time.
He's hit the ball hard since he got that stomach bug.
Yeah,
but you're right. Body of work has been very small, and he had been struggling. To me, I really don't really care a ton about the first five spots in the order as long as the first five guys. As long as those are the five guys. I prefer Jordan not to be hitting third. I hate Jordan hitting third. Two outs, none on, no more. That does not happen, or that happens more in the third spot than any other spot in the batting order.
That's a valid point. I mean, if you want him to see quality pitches and you want him to do as much damage as he possibly can do, you're right. There's, especially in the first inning, there's a real possibility that he's batting with two outs and nobody on, and he's not going to see a damn pitch.
Yeah.
So if he's batting behind Altuve, and especially if Altuve gets on, I don't think anybody's going to have the ability to pitch around him like they would in those other scenarios.
I don't care who the top five is, as long as it's a combination of Altuve, Jordan, Mancini, Tucker, and Bregman.
So I care who the top six is, as long as Mancini's one of them.
Who's the six? Who's the six at Diaz, or is it Yuli?
Yeah, no, the way Aledmys Diaz has been hitting for an extended period of time, he's got to be
But is Diaz probably not playing every day? If Mancini's playing all the games in left field or DH, and Jordan's left field DH, how else are you getting Diaz in the lineup? Now, he's going to be a utility guy, days off, things like that. But if you're talking about your playoff lineup, where's Diaz getting in?
Well, I mean, again, you're still going to look at first base. You're still going to look at the options that you have in the outfield. Again, I mean, I'm curious, even on center field, if he's not going to give Chaz any run there, too.
Diaz ain't playing center. If Chaz
No. Paul mentioned that the other day. No. There's
Chaz
no way.
McCormick's not playing center.
There is no way Diaz is playing center.
No, you might as well say he's going to catch.
Now, Dusty at least respects him as a hitter and likes him as a player. But even then, I don't think Dusty's going to be even when Dusty, he's not going to put Diaz in center.
Yeah,
no. But I want to see Chaz get some time in center. But you're right. Diaz is either going to give Pena a couple days off here and there to try and find it.
Right, but that's not an every day.
Or he's also going to be at first base. Or he's going to play left and Mancini's going. He'll play left on the days when Mancini plays first.
Uh-huh.
And
but
then,
that's kind of Diaz over Yuli, right? That's Diaz over Yuli. You're just kind of changing your defense around a little bit. Some people are going to say Tucker in center. A left field of Mancini, or an outfield of Mancini, Tucker, and let's just say
Diaz.
See, but
you're assuming Mancini's going to get some run in left. We're not even sure he's going to get any.
But if you go like Diaz in left, whoever in center, probably Jake, and then Mancini in right, that is a dreadful defense, and James Click puts so much priority defensively. I really don't think Tucker in center field is an option. I don't think they're going to do it. They did it last year to desperation because there wasn't a DH.
I don't think so either, unless they've been trying to do him a solid and not give him too much to worry about and put too much on his plate till he gets the hitting back. But, yeah, I think they'd have done it by now, just to see if he could do it. There's another guy that if it's even a possibility in the playoffs, like it was in the World Series, mm-hmm. that give him some run and see if he wants to do it and he can do it and put him out there, too, while you got this big lead and nothing really to play for. And your schedule's the fourth easiest in baseball going down the stretch.
I'd rather see it now than just, okay, here you go. Tucker, you're in center field in the most important game of our season. You haven't done it all year. 2336, how do we know Mancini isn't good in left field compared to Diaz?
Great question.
Just the old metrics. The old metrics would tell you that that Mancini's not a good defensive outfielder. It tells you that Diaz isn't a good defensive outfielder either. He's just the lesser of two evils. But you could push back on that and say, well, we haven't seen Mancini at Minute Maid. So that's my
thing.
True.
I thought
that's
it was
fair.
More of a question of going, how do we know what he can be in Minute Maid in left field unless we put him out there?
That's a fair point. 9723 with maybe the we have that new segment on Thursdays, Bad Take Boulevard. Mm-hmm. This is too good to save until Thursday. If I'm Dusty, I have Mancini DH for Myers and Yordan play left. If Mancini's DHing for Myers, that means your pitcher is going to hit.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
I don't think that the Astros are going to run up Justin Verlander in the batter's box.
I don't care what formulas, analytically or not, that James Click and others are using. I don't think that's going to work.
I don't think Justin Verlander is going to be in the batter's box anytime soon for the Astros. Aggie Matt says in the playoffs, Diaz is the 10th hitter. First up off the bench every game. I think that's probably likely because I think Dusty's going to lean Yuli over Diaz, and I think he's going to lean Mancini over Diaz. So I think that's probably what's going to happen. I agree with Aggie Matt on that. 713-780-ESPN, how should the Astros handle it? Tomorrow is the biggest day for the Astros. We're making that assumption. You have to play a playoff game, do or die, tomorrow. Who's playing left field? Who's batting in the two-hole? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You know what this means? It means it's Luis Garcia night for the Houston Astros. He pitches the first game of the three-game series against the Oakland Athletics. Lance McCullers makes his debut tomorrow. Brendan has missed playing this song the last two times Luis Garcia has
been
on the
bump. So it's your fault he's been scuffling, Brendan. Yep. It's official. I've been looking for the reason, and now we know.
Yep. We've been missing
Way
our
to go,
Salinas.
Buddy.
We've been missing our Salinas. It's all
Way
your
to
fault,
go.
Brendan.
It's all this distractions with this damn
He'll get it
preseason
back
football
today.
Crap.
He is now because you played his bilateral cumbia.
It happens
cumbia.
Sometimes.
You played his little cumbia. Why are you throwing the B?
Because I keep thinking that someone from the wheelhouse is coming in and they're not.
Yeah, they're in Las Vegas.
By the way, that picture that we're using, BK looks like...
BT.
BK looks like he's blinding me with his teeth.
Those are pretty teeth.
Those are like some pearly whites.
You know who likes those type of teeth? Young people that like to go to Vegas.
Is that right?
Young people that like to go to Las
Vegas. Not going on $150 dates, but going just to the pool and letting caution go to the wind.
Hey, Hive. Hey, Houston. Hey, listeners. Do you like going to Las Vegas? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776.
Should we like going to Las Vegas?
I don't think it's about us. I think it's about the audience.
I'm just asking a question. Should we? I haven't been there quite a while.
I like going to Las Vegas.
I used to like it a lot.
I like going to Cleaver's when I'm in Vegas. Second time I mentioned that.
Ward.
I like to play a little
Beaver.
Poker. What?
Beaver.
No, that's not why. Cleaver's, the steakhouse.
Beaver Cleaver.
I know what you meant.
Okay.
But it's not accurate. 713-780-ESPN. What's your lineup tomorrow? Tomorrow's the most important game for the Astros. They're playing a do or die. Everything's on the line. What do you roll out there? Ocho on our Twitch is saying, I play Diaz over Pena at shortstop. That's not going to happen. Mm-mm. The Astros value defense so much, especially up the middle, catcher, short, center, that they're going to play the glove over the stick.
It's a really tough question, though, because that's not where I would look. But because we haven't seen a sample size to know what options we have in center and left, and now we definitively know that we don't have Michael Brantley, and you don't want to keep rushing Yordan out there to play the field when you know how important it is, and we've been over this.
I'm okay with it in the playoffs, though.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, if Yordan Alvarez plays every game in the playoffs in left field because you need to get Mancini in the lineup and you don't trust him in left field, fine.
Okay, so then who's your DH?
Mancini.
So then where's Diaz?
I don't think Diaz is in the... Diaz, if I'm making the lineup, Diaz is probably ahead of Yuli, depending on their trends leading up to it. But right now, tomorrow's the most important game. I'm going Diaz over Yuli.
At first base. Okay.
Yeah. Or you could go Diaz...
Who's in center?
Oh, man.
See?
Who's on the mound? Because if it's a lefty, for me, it's Chaz, but Dusty's telling me he's not a center fielder.
Well, it kind of does, I think the logic goes completely out the window.
If I'm predicting Dusty's lineup, Dusty's going to go with Jake Meyers in center field. If I'm predicting Dusty's lineup, he's going to go Yuli Gurriel at first base.
It's weird, though, because it almost seems like Dusty likes Dubon more than he likes Jake.
When Verlander pitches, because he's got to be able to throw a guy out at third.
He was anti-Jake, which is why he was so pro-Miles Straw. But now it seems like he likes. He got to a point where he was liking Jake, but now it's like he's almost turned the page again, and now he likes Dubon.
Yeah, I think that's
scary. That's not just worrisome. That's downright scary.
Yeah,
because the one guy that should not be considered in any part of this lineup is Dubon.
What have I been telling you?
Dubon is your Siri when the playoffs start. Dubon is your pinch running cheerleader.
Siri is at least really good defensively. Siri's like, I think, a gold glove defensive center.
He is.
Dubon's kind of just a guy.
Okay, would you rather if I said he's your poor man Siri come playoffs? He's your pinch runner and backup outfielder?
I mean, I think you meant it more in terms of role than like skill set.
Right.
Which, yeah, I think role, it's an accurate comparison. Skill set, it's not.
Because Diaz is your guy that can do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, Diaz is your utility guy. I think Aggie Matt's right. I think Dusty, if tomorrow is your do-or-die game, I think he rolls out Yuli over Diaz. And the reason that they won't go Diaz over Pena, the only way that they will is if Pena just continues to the bed offensively the rest of the way. Diaz remains pretty consistent. And even then, I only think they do it with flyball pitchers like Verlander. McCullers and Fromber, ground ball pitchers, there is zero chance that Jeremy Payne is sitting whenever those two are on the mound.
And Click wouldn't let you because Click's so focused on defense.
Yeah. Well, Click, does he have a say?
I think he picks his spots. I don't think he talks to Dusty about everything, but I think there's certain things that he's pretty adamant about.
I think Myers is a spot. Now, I don't think Myers, like where he's at in the batting order, is a battle that he picked, but I think that he went to Dusty and said, look, we got to get Myers right. He's going to be in the lineup most days.
You know how I felt and most Astros fan felt about Maldi early in the year when he came to the plate?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Jake every time
overmatched.
He comes up now.
His strikeout rate is
like we talked about,
roof.
It's deer in the headlight facially. It's his pitch selection that he swings at. It's the fact that he just looks like you'd rather have a fighting Rex Burkhead in the batter's box than a Jake Meyers. It just looks like he's completely overmatched. And out in the field, I feel the same way. He's apprehensive about the warning track and the wall. When he comes in, if he makes the play, then he's feeling good. But if he doesn't, then it's a shoulder. And he's rubbing it. And it's like, and it's either one of them, by the way, not just one shoulder.
A little passive.
And his throwing arm is close to rivaling Mauricio Dubon right now.
I think it might be worse.
And that means he's not healthy, but yeah.
Yeah, he's not letting it fly. 3403 says metrics are like OPS. That's a little bit of a slight at Dusty. OPS is for the fans. Did you know that James Click created a defensive metric for baseball prospectus before he took a Tampa Bay job?
I did not know that. No.
Just gives you a little bit of the mindset of where James Click is at. This guy's sending a lineup that has Diaz at first base instead of Yuli Gurriel at first base. It's going to take a miracle, I think, for Dusty Baker to sit Yuli Gurriel in the playoffs. In fact, if I can make a deal with Dusty Baker right now, if he and I could sit at the negotiation table, and I would say, okay, Dusty, you can play Yuli. You can have Yuli at first base. I will concede that to you. But what you got to do for me, you can't use him in the second spot. You can't
can I ask
use
you,
him
though,
in the second
you
spot.
You say that the only way that you can see Diaz playing shortstop over Pena is if Pena just scuffles the rest of the year.
Yeah.
If Yuli does the same,
yeah.
How can you not say that there's they have to look a different way at first base?
They could.
He has to. If he can't be convinced otherwise, if Yuli just completely bleeps the bed the rest of the regular season, you got to look for a change there.
I would like to think that they would. I would like to think that they would. And I think that if you
say
do,
they, but I think it's still he.
Oh, he, Dusty, yeah. I should say he. You're right. All the pronouns now, you're not supposed to use those. I think you would see Yuli be benched. I think that you would. If he's bad the rest of the year. Because last 30-something days, Yuli's been all right-ish.
Mm-hmm.
He had a hot 30 days.
Yesterday he was great.
Yeah, but yesterday he was great. He had a hot 30 days. He went through a bad week. Yesterday he was great. Maybe he'll heat up and force Dusty's hand to stay in the lineup. I think he could also force Dusty's hand to being out of the lineup. And now if he's not in the lineup, now you got some options. Now you're probably playing Mancini at first. Maybe it is Diaz at first. One of those guys DHing. Jordan's in left field. Or you could go with a defensive mindset where it's Mancini at first, Jordan's the DH, flyball pitcher, Verlander on the mound, and you go with your Chaz in left field. And we know that Dusty's going to want to get Dubon in center when Verlander's on the mound.
You just don't want to. And I was having this conversation with multiple people in the last 24 hours on the different social media outlets going, here's the thing. I get the loyalty during the regular season, but you don't want to get the loyalty trophy and lose the World Series trophy because you just decided to ride it out with the guys that in Pawpaw's gut felt like he had to do because he owed it to them. Because you don't want to be, even if you're Dusty, you don't want to have the reputation when you leave this place as being AJ. AJ is not remembered for any of the good. AJ is remembered for what he did against the Nationals or didn't do and what happened because of it. And it supersedes any World Series in 17 or anything else. And then when you throw the scandal and the monitor and all that other stuff into it, AJ should be celebrated and really credited with a ton.
Won a World Series.
But AJ is looked at for all the negatives, and that's all he's remembered for. If Dusty goes and this team doesn't win the World Series this year, and in part it's because of who he played over who he didn't play and the lineups he put out there and the things he wasn't willing to do, he will not be remembered for how he got him through the cheating scandal and getting him to the World Series, and even without Lance McCullers, you know, putting up a fight against the Braves, all those other things.
Yuli could be AJ's Will Harris.
Yeah.
Yuli could be part, Dusty's Will Harris.
That's right.
Aggie Matt, Dusty knows Dubon doesn't make the playoff roster, so he's playing him a lot to be a nice guy. I disagree. Like, who's making the playoff roster over Dubon? Dubon's one of your 13 best offensive players right now, and they like him for his versatility, so he can play in a pinch. I think it's a guarantee that Mauricio Dubon's on this playoff roster. My fear, and the fear that I have, and it's why we talk about Dusty's trends, who cares if they're winning in August? Who cares the lineup every single day? I agree, but the trend of Mauricio Dubon starting more games in center field by a landslide, 7 starts in center field since Jake's return, 1 start for Chaz McCormick since Jake's return, is a trend I do not like, but is also a guarantee of why Dubon would be on the playoff roster. Adrian says Dubon is so bad, I don't even know why he's on the roster. I would say position versatility. The fact that he can play literally every position except for catcher. He's not a bat. We all know that. But he's an okay to an above average defender, depending on the position, and he can play all the positions. I like him as the 26th guy on this team. I just don't want him starting ever.
Yeah. It's just, to me now, it's magnified. Even what we started the show with, like, it's so important now. In the past, what I was harping on before was just giving yourself every option. No, putting it all on the table and laying it out so that when the playoffs start, you know what you could go with and what the best opportunity to win is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of the Brantley news, it's pressing. It's pressing to figure, and it's not just one position, because you got multiple guys that could fill multiple roles for you, but they also have to know and start being able to practice and prepare for the roles that they're going to play. Mancini can say, well, I could be DH, I could be first base, but I could also be an outfielder. If that's the case, he's got to get a lot of work, both in practice time and also in games. Diaz has got to know, am I going to be backing up or playing for Pena and or Yuli and playing in the infield, or am I going to be playing in the outfield?
Yep.
And in center field, is Chaz getting a shot or not?
Dusty told you yesterday he's not a center fielder.
And that's ridiculous to me, because Dubon isn't either on a playoff team.
He's got an arm. He's got
Stop
a cannon.
It. Stop.
He's got a cannon for an arm. Dusty wants him to throw dudes out at third base after they're at first on base hits to center field. Some of these lineups, by the way, they are sending in. Y'all are worse than Dusty. Like, these lineups are atrocious. Bregman at shortstop, Pena in center field.
Wow,
Maybe Dusty's better than I give. Maybe Dusty's better than I think.
Stop it.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you on Monday, Houston. Have a great weekend. The Wheelhouse from Vegas is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.